This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, your Son gave his all. And as we begin the journey of this week, may it be the start of, for the rest of our lives, a greater commitment to following him with all our feeling and emotions, with all our mind and heart, blending them together to continue to grow to be his disciples. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. We made it. These are the neatest disciples we have ever had. If you've been around St. Joseph's for some years, you know that many years ago, probably 15 to 17, we made the decision with the leadership to sort of take a chronological look at the way we celebrated this Holy Week. So instead of on Sunday today doing both the Palms and the whole Passion story, we just concentrate on that triumphal entry into Jerusalem and then tell the story sort of chronologically the rest of the week. So Tuesday night we'll have the service of foot washing. Wednesday night we will have the Tenebrae service where we think about and pray about all of those friends of Jesus deserting him one by one. Thursday, we will celebrate the Seder and the Eucharist, the Passover Supper, and then have that all-night prayer vigil as Jesus prayed in the garden leading up to Friday when he gives the ultimate gift of his life for us. But even though we don't do the Passion story today, I still love that particular title for this Sunday, Passion Sunday. Because this entire story is nothing about Jesus' passion. The way in which he chooses to acknowledge the feelings and the emotions that he has, and yet is able to continue with his whole mind and his whole heart to be true to what God is calling him to do. Passion. In Luke's gospel, this story begins with Jesus up on that hill. Those of you who have been to the Holy Land know the church there, Domus Flavin, where Jesus was when he cried literally over Jerusalem before he got on that donkey to process into the city. Crying because he knew he had given his all. And knowing that even though they were going to acclaim him as king, 5 days later they were going to want nothing but to hang him on a cross. And he cries and he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I have wanted, like a hen gathers its babies, so too I have wanted to gather you up. He acknowledges the incredible, incredible pain and the roller coaster ride of emotions that he will be on, and as we, let's face it, are on in our church. But the thing is about Jesus, his emotions do not rule the day. It is not just his feelings that guide the way he responds. There is an old illustration. I don't know who gets credit for it, but it certainly fits with this particular approach to today. Picture for a moment, if you will, someone who is a paralytic. And that paralytic is in a wheelchair. That paralytic has keen vision and an alert mind, but is being pushed down the corridor of the hospital by a nurse. But the nurse is blind. paralytic possesses vision. He can perceive things and know where he wants to go, but has no power to make it happen. The nurse possesses the power, but has no vision. She could just as easily push him out of the window by accident or through a glass door. The two really need each other if they're going to get down the hall safely. And the illustration author concludes by saying, "Happy is the patient who has a good relationship with his nurse." He poses the question and puts it to us. Those feelings, those emotions that we all have, just like Jesus had, but they do not drive what he chooses to do. If there was anybody who was justified for being totally angry and walking away, if there was anyone who with disappointment could have just gone back home and lived his life out as a carpenter, but he doesn't let his emotions and feelings be the controlling factor. In this story, as we go through this week, we're going to see that happening with different people. Simon Peter being one, where he just can't get beyond his fear. And so what does he do? He's going to slice off the ear of the high priest's slave. Out of fear, he is going to say, "Jesus, I don't even know who this guy is." And it ends up driving the way he lives his life. It's not that way with Jesus. But Jesus isn't afraid to acknowledge those emotions. Just like he did as we started with him crying over Jerusalem, he's going to end up in that garden on Thursday night crying. Crying so hard that blood comes out of his pores. "God, if possible, could you take this away from me?" And yet he continues with his whole mind, heart, and soul committed to what God is calling him to do, to be. Someone has said that this entry into Jerusalem represents for each of us that place where we just don't want to go. But unless we are willing to go to that Jerusalem for us, there is no possible way that God can move us on through the passion to the resurrection. Perhaps there are some feelings or emotions or other things that are driving the way I'm living my life. And perhaps today, as we look to Jesus as our strength, it is an opportunity for us to say, "I'm going to put that down." In our Bible study that we've been doing this Lent, the author talks about saying Hosanna is equivalent to saying, "Save me, save me." So maybe metaphorically, that's what we're called to do. They found branches, they threw them on the ground. "Jesus, step on this. Let's stamp that out." They took their cloaks that they had on and threw that down. What is that cloak? What is that branch? What is that that is driving my life that is not truly of God? And that is the call that we are given. And that is the incredible gift that Jesus shows us a way to follow. So as we go through this week, with the roller coaster of emotions, feelings, may they give us the passion to unite them with our mind and heart so that we might respond in the way Jesus does. Total love, total commitment, total focus. May it be that way for us. Amen.
Amen.